start of the 2018 Oklahoma legislative session is upon us, and this is Capitol Insider, your inside look at Oklahoma politics and policy. I'm Dick Pryor. eCapitol News Director Sean Ashley is on assignment. The first day of the session is marked by the governor's State of the State address and release of the executive budget. Joining us to discuss the upcoming session is the governor of the state of Oklahoma, Mary Fallon. Welcome, Governor.
Hi, Dick. Good to be with you again.
Thank you. Great to be with you. Let's get right to it. What can we expect to hear in your final State of the State address?
Well, it is my final State of the State address. It's been a great pleasure being governor over these many years, and looking forward to beginning our next legislative session. It's going to be an interesting legislative session because not only will we be starting a new session on February 5th, but we are also still in special session. So we will actually be having what's called a concurrent session, a new session, but yet we're still finishing off the old session. And so I'm looking forward to that. In my State of the State speech, basically what I'm going to be focusing on as the main topic is the budget. We got to fix the budget. We got to stabilize our fiscal condition of our state, put us on a predictable path for prosperity, and develop some solutions to the problems that we've been facing for many, many years now with the budget crisis that we have endured. And I'm also hoping that we'll be able to give our teachers a pay raise, find some ways to make government more efficient, more effective, and enact some reforms. So you'll hear proposals for that. And basically saying to the legislature, look, we've been under this constant budget struggle for many, many years. We've had 3 years that we had different revenue failures. We've had different budget shortfalls over the years. And it's time to give our state predictability to make sure that we're on a sustainable, stable path forward. And this constant uncertainty that we've had in our state is bad for our brand and bad for our image as a state. And we need to fix our problems. So we actually have two options, as I see it, for our state. We can either continue down the path we've been going, which is, I think the public's been upset that we haven't been able to solve some of our problems, as I mentioned, with the teacher pay raise or fix some of our fiscal issues. We can stay on that path and we can continue to get more of the same of what we've had over the last many years, or we can take a different tact and look at some of the proposals and enact some of those that the Step Up Group, which is an organic group of private sector citizens, both from the business and the civic community, that have developed a plan to move Oklahoma forward to prosperity, give our teachers pay raise, and bring about some needed reform in state government and put us on a better sustainable path forward.
What's the status of discussions regarding revenue generation and the amended call that you made for the second special session?
Well, the amended call that I made for the second special session is basically the Step Up plan that the private sector group, both big business, small business, urban, rural business, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, came together from all across the state, and many different organizations and associations have stepped up to endorse it, just saying, look, let's fix our problems. Let's get our state in a better position. And so that's what the amended call is. As I mentioned, we'll be both in regular session and in special session at the same time so that they can deal with the Step Up plan. And I hope that the legislature will consider the plan that is out there, vote on it, and hopefully vote on it quicker so that we can get on with our regular new session and deal with some of the issues in front of it.
Revenue-raising measures are always difficult to pass, especially in an election year. Are more cuts and kicking the can down the road an acceptable option?
Well, that is the choice that we have. Either we fix things, put us on a right course, a right path for our state, give our teachers a pay raise, get teachers in the classrooms, or we can keep kicking the can down the road like we have been for many, many years. We have made many, many cuts to various state agencies, various services. We've cut personnel in state government. We've taken money from one fund and put it in another fund, what I call robbing Peter to pay Paul, and then Paul runs out of cash. We've been using a lot of artificial cash over the years to balance the budget, but it's time to right our course as a state to get our ship going in the right direction. And so our biggest challenge has been that in order to raise any type of revenue, it requires 75% of the legislature to support that. We've had several votes on raising the cigarette tax, which would improve the health of Oklahomans by lowering our smoking rates. We've always had a high smoking rate in our state. It costs the state of Oklahoma a lot of money. People are smokers on Medicaid, or it even costs individual citizens more money when they have higher premiums on their health insurance, or certainly employers who have employees that may not be as healthy as they should be because of smoking habits. But that is one thing that's proven to help lower the smoking rates, is raising the sin tax on cigarettes. And that's been voted on many, many times out here at the legislature, just hasn't quite got enough votes. The other proposals that are in there, it's been discussed quite frequently across the state, is adjusting our gross production tax. The energy sector is slowly but surely recovering. It's in a much better position. There's been a lot of debate about what is the right level of payment that our energy companies can make and should make without hurting jobs and investment and opportunity, because the energy sector is very important to Oklahoma's economy. And we feel like there's been a balance that's been reached with agreement between those in the energy sector that are wanting to make sure we have the appropriate workforce and education systems and funding our infrastructure and things that are important to our business community, but also will be fair for the taxpayers of Oklahoma. And then, of course, we've talked about our roads and bridges and infrastructure. How do we continue to fix our roads and bridges? And with the shortfalls that we've experienced over the last couple of years, our infrastructure has had taken some hits to their funding, and we want to be able to keep up the good progress that we've already made. We've been able to fix over 70% of our structurally deficient bridges since I've been in office, which is a huge amount of bridges that have been repaired or replaced. But we don't want to lose that momentum, because we're running short of cash and having to take money out of transportation to fund other essential needs too. So you see a proposal to adjust our gas tax. We have the lowest gas tax in the region of our section of the United States, and the proposal that's been made would keep us well below the national average on fuel tax. So there are many other different components that are reform efforts in the step-up plan. It's also a plan to give the teachers a $5,000 pay raise so that we can move away from four-day school weeks, have a teacher in every classroom, not have so many emergency certified teachers, have good trained teachers in the classrooms. But it's a plan that touches a lot of things, from reform and efficiencies in government to giving the teachers a pay raise to generating revenue that will be able to provide for core services like public safety, corrections, education, health, human services. Those type of things are important to our citizens.
Five former governors are among many groups who support the plan. How are the ideas being received at the Capitol, as far as you can tell?
Well, I think it's got the legislators' attention when you got five former governors that are all still here, that are both Republican and Democrats, that have said, look, it's important to put Oklahoma on a predictable path. This uncertainty in our state, the lack of being able to fund education and have the quality workforce that we must have to make Oklahoma attractive to keeping jobs and bringing new industry to our state is something that's just got to be fixed. And so it's been very helpful to have those governors step forward and say, look, we've been in the same position that our current governor's in, which is me, and we agree that it's time to fix things, solve our problems, quit kicking the can down the road, and to put Oklahoma in a better place. I'm always concerned about the image and the brand that we portray to the rest of the nation when we have some of these issues that are constantly in the press about budget shortfalls or not being able to pay teachers the way we should or having to cut different health and medical services for our state. It's not good for our brand and our image as a state, and yet I think we can do better as a state.
Well, a new story in the highly respected publication The Economist focuses on low teacher pay and severe budget cuts for education. The story is headlined, "What's the Matter with Oklahoma?" And I know throughout your career you have promoted economic development in the state. What does it do to those efforts in the state's image when state government continually fails to address those glaring problems and invites that kind of story?
Well, like I said, it does affect our brand and our image, and it really hit home with me not too long ago when we had an economic development trip to New York, and we were meeting with site locators that work with major Fortune 500 companies that look at the different benefits of doing business in a particular state. So there are great things happening in Oklahoma. We have done some great things to make us more business friendly. We've, as I said, fixed 70% of our roads and bridges, 70% of our bridges, excuse me, and put more money into roads. We've been able to reduce our unfunded pension liability by half, which is great. We've been able to give more degrees and certificates in higher education, have better academic standards. We've put in more foster homes for families and children in need. So we've done a lot of great things. We have the lowest tax burden in the nation. So I give this speech about great things that are happening in Oklahoma, why it's good to do business here, low-cost living, low-cost electricity, a great place to live, great quality of life. And then this one site locator comes up to me and he says, "Well, Governor, I love everything about your state. I brought business to your state in the past." But he said, "I'm reading some headlines saying that you're so poor as a state that you only have 4-day school weeks." And he said, "How am I supposed to recruit top companies, Fortune 500 companies, which need a quality, skilled, relevant workforce, when you can only pay for 4-day school weeks in your state and you have a shortage of teachers?" And of course, I had to say, "Well, look, that's only for about 20% of our rural schools. Some that are chosen to go to 4-day school weeks. That's not the norm in our state. But we're still a great state to be in. It's a great state to do business." So it really hit home with me that people from out of state watch what goes on in Oklahoma. They read the articles, like you mentioned, The Economist, and they see those things. And it's not helpful to our brand as a state. You know, we've always been a state that's had what's called the Oklahoma Standard, that we believe in neighbors helping neighbors and doing our very best. And I always want to be remembered as a state for being a great state that takes care of its people.
Another big issue in Oklahoma for this session will be corrections. Department of Corrections Director Joe Albaugh says problems of prison overcrowding and underfunding are just getting worse. Now, there are well-established ideas for cost-effective criminal justice reform. You know all about that. But enacting change has been very slow. What do you think might happen this year?
I think we got a great chance of pursuing more smarter on crime policies, keeping our community safe, keeping our people safe, addressing those people who are truly a threat to society and keeping them locked up or incarcerated. But I think there's a great recognition among Oklahomans and frankly across the nation that we've had a lot of issues with substance abuse and addiction issues. We've talked a lot about the opioid crisis in our state and certainly across the nation. And we've seen more interest in smart on crime policies to help people that have addiction problems get the treatment and services they need, get back on their feet, get them clean, get them back to work. As taxpayers, putting their families back together, putting their children back in their home, and finding a better way than just institutionalizing people with substance abuse issues and incarcerating them in our prison systems, when there are those, not everybody, but there are those that are mothers or fathers or sons or daughters that with some treatment and help and services can actually be a good, productive citizen in society.
What can you do? What do you plan to do this year to force more problem solving at the state capitol?
Well, one of the things we've been talking about recently is the ability to have more accountability and efficiency within our state agencies. And we've had a lot of discussion about audits, which are very important. And during my time as governor, we've requested a lot of audits of various state agencies. The legislature can also audit agencies. And of course, you have the state auditor's office that audits agencies. Even the AG, Attorney General, can ask for a criminal audit if they wanted to. But I think putting more money towards accountability, transparency, and especially with audits is going to be important in building back some of the public trust that we need to reestablish within some of our government entities, and making sure government's efficient as possible, that we don't certainly waste any money, especially when we're asking people to step up and help us solve some of these budget crises. I think it's the thing that we owe to the public, that we're doing our job here to make sure that we're being wise with everything that we do, money-wise and taxpayer-wise. And, of course, addressing the concerns that people have a strong interest in is also something that we need to do for public confidence.
Is there a way to break the inertia that seems to bog things down year after year inside the building?
I think we have something different going on this year, and that is, as I mentioned, the private sector group of civic leaders and business people that came together and developed an organic plan called the Step Up Plan, and has been talking to our House and our Senate, even certainly to my office, about reforms they would like to see enacted, getting the teachers a pay raise, and how we can be able to have some use taxes that would help raise the revenue that we need to be able to fund some of the core services that we are obligated to and should provide for our citizens. And so I think you're seeing a brighter and a bolder conversation about those issues. There was a poll that was done not too long ago, and it asked the public, what's the number one issue you're concerned about? And the number one issue was the budget crisis. And the second issue was teacher pay raises. So I think the public has become more educated, more aware, and frankly concerned, and frankly fed up with some of the inaction that we've had at the Capitol, and don't want us to continue kicking the can down the road. So I think we have a better opportunity this year with the voters being more engaged and more informed on issues and demanding action.
You are heading into your final year as governor after a long career in public service. How are you feeling about that?
Oh, it's kind of a mixed bag. I do recognize this is my last session, my last State of the State speech, and you always think about, oh, there's still more I'd like to do. But on the other hand, I'm also looking forward to whatever the next chapter in my life holds. And I know that I'll still be here in Oklahoma, still be engaged, and hopefully many different activities that I've worked on over the many, many years. And I know that we'll have a new governor, and I'll wish that person as much success as possible and try to help them in the transition and being successful. And one of the things I've enjoyed over the last many years is I've developed and have always had a good relationship with our former governors, but especially in this crisis over this past year, I've had a lot of opportunity to visit with the former governors about the different challenges they went through, oil busts, energy crisis that they had during their times, and how they dealt with some of these circumstances. So I hope that going forward, I can be as much of a support team as the former governors have been with me.
With just about a year to go, what do you see as your legacy as governor?
Well, I hope that when we finish this session, that my legacy will be that we solved the budget crisis. And if something happens in the House and Senate doesn't vote to do that, I hope they'll say that, boy, she pushed them hard and gave it her best to try to move the needle to fix things in the state. But we've tried to build a stronger economy, and we do have a stronger economy. If you look around Oklahoma City, you see a lot of cranes and a lot of construction, a lot of development going on. You have a lot of new companies that are coming in. A lot of areas have been developed throughout the state, not only here in Oklahoma City, but in Tulsa, and Durant's doing great. You look at the Moore-Norman corridor and all the economic development around that area. Stillwater's certainly booming, and in many other areas across the state. So hopefully that we've created a better business climate for our state. We've increased our degrees and certificates for higher education and have a better skilled, educated workforce. And hopefully by the time we finish this session that we'll have given our teachers a pay raise.
So the final chapter has yet to be written.
It has yet to be written. I'm still going to be going strong. You know, someone asked me earlier today, usually a governor in their last year is a lame duck. How do you feel your last year is going to be? And I said, well, it's not going to be a lame duck year. We've got a lot of things going on this year, a lot of exciting things with the special session and also with the potential for a grassroots movement across the state to fix some of our state problems. We're excited that the Capitol is being renovated and we got the bond issues passed, and this is a 100-year-old building, and we're the only governor that's been able to get a bond issue to truly fix the Capitol and make it the place that'll be sustainable for the next 100 years plus as the seat of our state government. And still a lot of things we hope to work on, such as criminal justice and some of the education workforce issues and more government efficiency and reform. But there's always a lot to do in government, but it's a great experience, and it's been a lot of fun doing it.
Governor Mary Fallon, a pleasure as always visiting with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dick. I appreciate it.
Listen to Capital Insider each Friday afternoon at 5:45 and every Monday morning at 7:45 on KGOU. And we invite you to listen to KGOU for live coverage of the Governor's State of the State Address beginning Monday at noon. Until next time, I'm Dick Pryor.